Hi, this is Drew, and thanks for listening to our podcast. Hopefully, you've been enjoying our show for a while now, but if you're a brand new listener, then the next 50 seconds are not for you, so just go ahead and fast forward a bit. I just wanted to ask our longtime listeners to consider becoming patrons of The Drew Marshall Show, because by throwing us just a few bucks each month, you'll be helping what many tell us is the most brutally authentic spiritual show they've ever heard stay on the air. Look, as loyal podcast listeners, you've been getting the same programming our radio listeners have been hearing live Saturdays 1 to 5 for the last 16 years. Except you get to hear everything commercial-free, you smart consumer, you. Well, because of a brand new arrangement with our studio, our expenses have now gone through the roof. And to be brutally honest, we could use the help to cover those costs. So just before you go to bed tonight, maybe you could stop by our website and click on the giant click here to become a patron sign. And if a whole bunch of you were able to scrounge up like $4 per month, then individually your $4 would have just made a massive difference in helping us cover what it costs to bring you the Drew Marshall Show. Okay, that's it. Sorry to bug you. Now on with the show. I hope you have a good sleep tonight after you become a patron.
It's really hard to talk over Sting.
It is.
He was just here in Ontario promoting his play that
he
was here in Ontario.
Might be.
Is he still here?
He's playing, like, he's supposed to be here for a week or two doing it.
I asked his peeps if we could get him on the show. Basically, they said, no, he's too big for you.
Yeah. But we know Lila Bialy.
Yeah. Oh. She probably went out and hung out with him.
Ali Matthews went to see the show. I just happened to see it on Facebook, and she loved it.
Yeah, what was it about ship workers? It was written, small town that goes.
Yeah, he was raised like in the shadow of big ships, and then they stopped being made in that town, and it's sort of his real life story, his dad's story, his city's story for sure.
Yeah.
The reason I chose this song is called "Saint Augustine in Hell," so I figured it was completely appropriate for this. But
yeah, well, listen, you are listening to the Drew Marshall Show. Thank you for tuning in. We're streaming live at drewmarshall.ca. We told everyone we're going to have John Allen Jr., who's the editor of Crux, author, and Vatican expert on the show, but he's gone missing
in the Vatican.
Oh, the catacombs.
He's in the catacombs.
Can't get reception down with all the dead people.
Anyway, so I'll just keep looking at my phone
Maybe
to see if he's going to...
You know, if he comes back, we can do that whole thing. Like, remember Bruce Coburn went on us and we got, like, the next time we got it, we was like, we could talk for 3 days
no,
with him?
No, I don't want 3 days with him.
Well, you know what I mean.
Bruce Coburn, I'll take 3 days with.
Oh, yeah.
That just sounded stalkerish. A little stalkerish.
Stalkerish? Oh, yeah. I thought you said soccerish. And I'm going like, Bruce plays soccer?
You know what we're going to do right now instead? We are... I hesitate doing this all the time, but I'm going to do it. We're just going to see. Just going to see.
I know where you're going with this.
We're going to open up the phone lines.
Dead silence.
We're going to open up the phone lines because we have two topics that we have been speaking about. One we were going to speak about. And Buddy here might give us a shout. Buddy. John Allen Jr. might give us a shout. So then we'll stop doing the phone line thing. But here's the deal. So many of you just heard us talk about the doctors who are being forced to, in their opinion, religious doctors or faith doctors or whatever,
people
are being forced
opinions,
to perform duties that go against their belief. Now, these duties, the rest of us might think as pretty light. Like someone comes to them and says, I would like to end my life or talk about ending daughter's life or aunt's life, whatever the thing. I guess you have to be you to do that, right? You can't
on behalf of somebody else.
So I want to end my life, and the doctor says, well, I don't believe in that because of faith or whatever. So it'd be nice if they could say, you know, just go down the street and talk to Dr.
So-and-so.
Yeah, Dr. Normal instead of Dr. Weirdo.
Larry Legal and Dr. Weirdo.
But the Ontario College of Physicians and Surgeons, as far as I understand it, is saying to them, no, you have to walk them through it. You have to pick up the phone, contact Dr. Who will do it, and set up an appointment and that kind of thing. Now, outsiders may look at that and go, well, how is that against your faith? You're not injecting them with the fluid that's killing them. Right?
Yeah.
You're not writing them a script even.
No.
All you're doing is referring, and it's a warm referral, as I learned the term, right? So how do you feel about that, listeners of Joy 1250? The phone number is 877-569-1250. 877-569-1250. That's 877-JOY-1250. It's toll-free across Canada, down in the United States of America, if the signal can get over the wall. But the other topic that we were going to chat about is, you know, I wanted to know from this John Allen Jr. guy, what exactly happened at the Vatican Sex Abuse Summit?
Hmm.
And do you think whatever happened there do you think things will actually change? Because we're talking about a pretty ingrained thing. And I'm not quite convinced that a summit... So the summit will help the organization to stop being so secretive and shuffling pedophiles around.
And Egypt-y.
You know, denial, you're going to go with that joke again?
Thank you. I'm here all week.
I'm hoping that's going to help the organization of the Catholic Church be a little transparent, more transparent.
Maybe a little more proactive.
A little more proactive, yeah.
It's also a hot topic, not necessarily connected with Catholicism, but with the HBO special with Michael Jackson, the whole sex abuse thing and people in power and
interesting
that kind of
how the Michael Jackson documentary came out at the same time the sex abuse summit was.
Because they're yeah, it's I've been listening.
You haven't watched it, right?
No, I don't have HBO. Okay. But, you know, hearing lots of people, both sides of the story, it's... You know, when you get into the cult of celebrity, you know, negativity and all that kind of stuff, it's how do you – where do you draw the line? I don't know.
Okay, so we're going to take callers, and also I'm going to just keep ranting because I'm in a ranting mood today.
You are. You know, you're probably subconsciously wanting to bring back Rag Maggie Rant next week, but you're
just said Rag Mandy Rant.
What? Rag Rant.
Rant Maggie Rant, you tool. Anyway, the phone number is 877-JOY-1250. Two questions we're asking right now, and maybe you want to talk about the third thing that I'm going to rant about in just a second, which all you Pentecostals just hang on.
Yeah, baby.
I wonder if we actually have any Pentecostals left listening to the show, because I do have a problem with the way that they are transferring their tribal conditioning to other countries, and that they are mimicking what they've seen here in especially in the United States of America. Mm-hmm. And I want to talk about two issues that I spoke about earlier in the show.
Yeah.
Anyway, so the first question is this. The doctor is being forced to get on the phone to call the other doctor that will do the abortion or that will do the physician-assisted suicide.
I wonder if vasectomy falls under that as well, if that's a question I was going to ask her, but we didn't get a chance to.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Do you feel for these doctors that are saying, look, this is going against my morality. This is going against my faith beliefs. Do you have any sympathy for these doctors? Do you think the Ontario College of Physicians and Surgeons should lighten up and give doctors who have belief systems the free rein to sort of say, hey, I'm sorry, I can't have anything to do with this, but you can call Steve, right?
Yes.
Doctor, why do I always pick on Steve? It's a weird name.
Did Steve tell you?
or are these doctors being sucky about it? Are they being whiny about it? You know, is there a legalism as far as their faith is concerned? Do you think Jesus is sitting there going,
Well, Jesus could raise him from the dead, so he had the cure for everything.
Unlike the pastor I'm about to talk about in South Africa.
You know, it's a double-edged sword. For the longest time, my father was far ahead of the curve with regards to holistic medicine. You know, for a long time, the scientists didn't think that, you know, chiropractors and massage therapy, it was just hocus pocus.
Right.
And my father was way ahead of the curve and said, no, this...
Ahead of the curve.
Oh,
that was
yeah.
good.
Snap. Get a curve snap. All right. But interestingly enough, I mean, now we're entering this other area where it is a scientific thing. And doctors are starting to push back again, even though it's not necessarily holistic outside of the realm of science.
Chiropractors have been pushing back for a long time.
Yes, they have.
Pushing back. Thank you very much.
What about their favorite cereal is? Rice Krispies.
Yeah, because of Snap, Crackle, and Pop.
Yeah,
there
baby.
You go. Of course, the other question we're sort of talking about here is, do you think that the Vatican, what's it called, Sex Abuse Summit is actually going to make any difference? Will it actually make any difference? And have you heard some good messaging finally come out of the Catholic Church? I mean, I think they finally busted some bigwigs.
There was one huge bigwig that really went down.
Was that the Aussie? Because I know there was an Aussie, but there was another one too.
I don't honestly know.
And how big are the wigs in the Catholic Church? Because them hats are big.
Not as big as the ones, the court wigs in the UK.
Oh. And then the other kind of rant I want to go back to something I was frustrated with. Now I'm asking myself, why do I get so...
Is this the name it and claim it kind of connection?
Yes, it is. Yeah.
Okay.
So I have a problem. My biggest problem with the Christian religion falls under the category of thieves.
Yes.
Con artist and thieves.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a problem with those. I have a problem with rich pastors.
Okay.
I think it's an oxymoron.
Yes.
And someone said to me, well, what is rich? I mean, to some people, you're rich, Drew. Okay, yeah, I get that.
For sure.
But I think we can all agree that there's a certain opulence out there with some denominations that is certainly way past the boundary. Way past the boundary. And they believe, and that's, here's where the actual problem is, not how much money they have, but with the belief that God, because I'm a child of God, I'm the heir to the throne kind of stuff, you know, that I deserve, it is my right
and God wants me to be
wealthy, healthy, blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I have a problem with that.
Yeah.
Now, to my two little pals in South Africa. I think the other one was in South Africa. One was for sure. Pastor Buddy, what's his name?
Yeah.
It doesn't matter because I couldn't even pronounce it anyway. Yeah. I don't know how to.
I love those names down there. It's amazing.
I think it had a in it.
That's Xhosa.
What language do they
use? Xhosa. It's Xhosa. Yeah.
Is that, that's not South Africa though, is it?
No, there's a number of tribes down there. For example, Trevor Noah speaks it. The TV guy, he speaks Xhosa. And it's just a natural sound within their language. And apparently there's 6 or 7 different clicking
clicks?
Sounds placed in different parts of words and conversation that mean completely different things.
Man, you can bore me.
Yes, that's my gift. I'm here. Rant, brother.
So anyway, I'm watching this video. First of all, I heard in the news that a pastor has been busted because he faked raising someone from the dead. Now, there's a headline for you.
Yeah.
Right? You look at that and you go, are you kidding me? Where did that happen? And then you go, South Africa. Really? Okay. So then you go, well, let's just see if... Because sometimes the headlines are not accurate.
No.
Even in publications like some of the Christian publications out there, they'll put a little spin on it to make it look a little more sympathetic to the Jesus cause.
Right.
I've seen them. I've busted them many times.
Fake news.
That. Yeah. Anyway, I went and watched the video. Mm-hmm. So here's this.
So there's an actual video
of
this.
Yeah. It starts. All right. Hold on. Sort of.
Okay.
It starts with the typical televangelist on stage, black guy on stage, and he's got the bazillion-dollar suit on, and he's got the bling, and he's got a bedazzled microphone, which is your tip right there that you're a putz. Yeah.
Or your prince.
Yeah. Gold microphone, which, by the way, didn't work while he was trying to raise Buddy from the dead. He should have spent a little more time healing the mic so he could get the
working
shtick
at a
out.
McDonald's drive-thru.
So it's a big church, huge, TV cameras, and, you know, just looks like it's from the, you know, you think, for some reason, this is going to sound ignorant and racist. You think about a church over in South Africa and you don't think mega church.
No.
You just don't, for whatever reasons.
Yeah.
Well, there is one.
Okay.
And it's huge. And this guy's the wealthiest pastor in South Africa, apparently.
That makes me uncomfortable right there.
That's a bizarre statement.
That is.
No, I'm the wealthiest pastor. No, I'm the wealthiest pastor.
I can raise 5 people from the dead.
And that's where you need the Three Stooges right there. Just a little boink right in the eyes. And so Buddy's up there and he's saying his thing and they're doing the exact same hallelujahs and gruntings and the exact same sounds and the timing of the sounds as the church is over here. So there is such a thing as tribal conditioning, and the proof that there is such a thing as tribal conditioning is how the heck do those guys have the exact same holy grunts and sounds and amens and hallelujahs and even the suits and the way the church is? It's because American Pentecostalism has trademarked their brand and planted it over there, and it's taken off. And here's how good a job the American Pentecostals did.
Excellent.
They go out to the back door where the overflow area is. Overflow area.
Okay.
I thought that was the bathroom, but and they've got the cameras there. And here comes the hearse, and the hearse backs up into the crowd, and everybody's weeping and wailing and whatever else. And it's a coffin; it's not a casket, so it's like you can see the face through the glass hole of the glass hole
display
of
things.
The casket
yes.
coffin. And so the preacher goes over there, and now you can see a couple of times the preacher's barking at people who are in the area, and he's basically going, "Who are you? Why are you in the shot?"
Oh, he wasn't, like, casting demons.
No, he was yelling at people
Why
for being in the
here?
Shot.
Okay.
And he says to one guy, who are you? And the guy goes, I'm his older brother. Oh, okay, you can stay here.
Oops.
So and then the cast, they bring the casket out and they lift the lid off, and the guy, the black guy sitting there, laying there, not sitting there, that's later, laying there in the casket, and he's got all white on. It looks like the man from GLAAD. Right? He's got all white on, and I see his suit jacket moving up and down.
Oh.
I'm like, well, that kind of wrecks the whole ta-da.
Yeah. Was he fogging the glass at all when he came out?
Holding the mirror from... So, like, what are you doing? And afterwards, when he was accused of faking this whole thing, the pastor said something like, no, I didn't. He got raised from the dead on his way to the church. Yeah. So he was actually alive. And it's like, oh my goodness, this is just ridiculous. So at one point, he does the magic. You got to have the hands, right? You got to have the amazing Kreskin hands.
Oh, yeah. Happen.
You know, look over there, look over here. And he presses down on his abdomen area. And that's dangerous.
Say that again?
Abdomen area. And that's dangerous with a corpse. Yeah. You don't ever want to do that. All of a sudden, the guy sits up and his eyes bug out like...
Marty Feldman?
Yes, like Marty Feldman. And his wide open face. And the people are going nutso. Just nutso.
Right.
And now he's walking around. And next thing, he got a shot of him eating some food. And he's still shaking and stuff. And the whole thing was set up. The whole thing.
Didn't, sort of a bit of a segue, maybe a connection. Did we talk about something a few years ago where they were, quote unquote, raising dead, but they'd hook people up to batteries? And would shock them so they'd move as part of the...
No.
I vaguely remember us talking about that. That people had been hooked up to some sort of electrical thing so they'd move as they were trying to... They didn't come back to life per se, but like, the pastor's so good.
You know what? Growing up in a funeral home, that would have been a great practical joke. Can you imagine?
Especially those Halloween parties.
I remember one time when I was a kid, I was walking around places I shouldn't walk around in the funeral home. And I came around. Oh, my dad's up next. I don't know if I should tell this story.
Like he doesn't know, probably.
No, he probably does know. But I remember hearing screaming and crying. And I came around the corner to the where the chapel area was, and I couldn't figure out what was going on. And I was old enough to ask.
Okay.
Right? So I was probably 32. No. I was old
enough
to ask.
Still living in my dad's basement.
And it was explained to me that it was a Catholic funeral, and there was some thinking in Catholicism that in this particular denomination, I don't know if it was like Orthodox or whatever it was.
The Anglicans and the Catholics are very quiet.
There was some thinking that the more you wept, the better chance that person had of getting out of purgatory.
Oh, not coming back to life. Okay.
So they hired weepers.
Really?
And that got Mama going, and Mama went into the casket and gave Papa a hug, and Papa moved a little bit, and she thought he was alive, so they couldn't get her out of the casket. Let go.
Did your dad ever sell caskets with the bell on them?
What?
You've never heard there was a, I guess during,
you're bringing up the weirdest things today.
There and it came back. Like when there was
the,
like,
very next,
you know,
day?
The plague and all those kind of things. People would sometimes get buried and they'd still be alive.
Bring out your dead.
Ding. So apparently they started making caskets with a bell. So if the person wasn't dead ding, 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 ding. But, dinner's ready.
But who was it? Ernest Ainsley. I think he might still be alive. So it was either when... Can you look up, see if he's dead or not, please?
I was on my way.
You know the bad thing about Facebook Live video streaming is I have to pick my nose and now everyone can see me. Radio, I'm not used to that. There we go. Okay. Probably shouldn't have said that on the microphone. Anyway, he buried his wife, I think, with a cell phone. You can tell Tim's not listening because...
No, I do remember us talking about this.
Right?
Yes.
So that if Jesus came back and she was stuck down there because there was a rock above her, not just dirt or something, I don't know, she could make an emergency phone call to Ernest Ainsley, who was the first television preacher that used to slap people on the forehead and heal them. And he'd stick his fingers in their ears and rip them out and go, baby, bang, bang. Now say baby, bang, bang. It's quite hilarious. I think they made a few skits out of him back in the day. Anyway, the other quick story was we got to move on here. Wow, boy, can we kill time or what, eh?
It doesn't say anything about death, just that he was born.
The other story was the pastor, and you can watch this. I don't know what you type in to watch this. nut job pastor with an iPad. Try that.
Ooh.
And this other, and I think it was in Africa again, this guy, the pastor, and he's again dressed up just to the nines.
Nice.
Little gold, little jewel pin and
gold microphone.
And he just had that, he had an arrogance about him that pastors shouldn't have.
Like our intern.
Which is why I stopped being a pastor. And he said, pointed to a guy in the crowd. He said, "You come here. Guy comes up. He says, "No, we've never met before, right?" I thought it was Kreskin. and I don't know the names of your children, right? He said, no. He says, "Prophesy, great spiritual leader," or whatever his name was. And so, and all of a sudden he's struggling and he's going, "For some reason I'm not getting, the Holy Spirit is not giving me the names of your children." So he blames the Holy Spirit.
Way to go.
Right under the bus.
Holy Spirit,
So he goes, "But I want to bring their faces up. Who has an iPad?" Somebody in the front row, of course, has an iPad, gives it to him. "You can look at this yourself, kids." And he holds it up, camera's on it, and you can see that the camera is on the iPad.
Right.
Okay, so you can see what the camera sees.
Mm-hmm.
All of a sudden, his right thumb drops and goes to the photo album part,
right.
Double clicks on the picture, and there's the picture of the kid, the guy's kid,
miracles.
And the crowd goes wild. Now, who's more to blame here? The putzes who are in this congregation or the putz leading them?
C. All of the above. What was the dumbest thing you ever did as a pastor?
Oh, great question. Well, we've run out of time. I think I chastise people for talking. Because I had a lot of young adults come to the service, right? They're about 300
was
or so.
Was it the later service?
Yeah.
That's why they were there.
In Australia, yeah. Because you're at the beach all day,
or
right?
Or sleeping in.
And there were some of them just yapping away. It's like, I just, you know, like the school teacher, "I'm waiting."
Yeah. Well, if you have something important to say, why don't you come up
share
here?
Share with the rest of us or whatever.
Stop passing those notes
or
around.
Or texting. I was like, "What are you doing on your phone?" Like, it was back before the Bible app was a thing, so they were just full on texting.
Right.
Like, "What are you doing? Is this more important? Is your text more important than Jesus?"
Yeah. The Holy Spirit's texting me.
So there's a couple of moronic things.
Nice.
One time my son was on the soundboard. He was volunteering, right? He was working the sound.
Okay.
And I started to tell a story about him. Oh. He shut off my mic.
That's awesome.
So good.
I used to embarrass my kids at school. I've given up on